Hey everyone, how are you? I am so excited to be here today. We have a fantastic guest, and I'm going to introduce you to Taja in just a second. But it is just a privilege for me to be able to do this and to talk to so many great leaders, people that are really driving revenue performance for their businesses, but also building important culture and structures in their world that are making a difference for the people that they serve. And so this is just an honor and a privilege for me. I see that there are more people jumping on. Go ahead and leave us a comment. Love to know where you are today. I did travel this week. I will tell you, I did travel. And so I do know that there are people traveling. There are people, the airplanes were mostly full. The airports were busy. That's a good way of saying it. They were not full, but they were busy. And it was exciting to get to go on a plane again. I used to do that every single week. I don't do that. Now I'm lucky to do it once every 6 months or so. All right. So, okay. I see people are chiming in from all over. We have Atlanta, Buffalo, Dallas, Florida. That's excellent. All right. So let me introduce my first guest and then we'll jump into getting to know Taja. So Taja Graham is the Vice President of Sales for MS Communications in Indianapolis. She started her career in 1991, and in 1996, she joined MS Communications and has worked in various roles leading up to her current position. She's currently leads a sales team in selling omni-channel marketing strategies to both national and local accounts, both B2C and B2B. She's been recognized, and this is very impressive, she's been recognized by the RAB, Radio Association Broadcasters, the BMI, and a group called MIW, which is the most influential women in radio, as an emerging leader in the radio industry. She's completed the Rising Through the Ranks management course for women. She's a previous MIW Mildred Carter Mentoring Program finalist, which is a big deal. So congratulations, Taja, for that. She was also recognized several years ago as the Indianapolis Junior Achievement Best and Brightest winner for media, entertainment, and sports. And if that's not enough, she was also recognized and was the recipient of the 2018 Center for Sales Strategy Super Talent Superhero Awards, which is a highly coveted, very special award that we give to those folks that are really doing an amazing job at spotting talent, recruiting talent, growing talent, developing talent, everything having to do with talent and development. And she's one of our superheroes. And so, Taja, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Matt. Thank you and for all the cool recognition. So I appreciate it.
All right. So today we're going to dive into, we're going to go deep and I know when people saw that you were going to be the guest, they would text me and say, hey, are you going to ask questions like this? So I know there's a lot of interest out there. We're going to dive into things that you're doing in your market to both drive performance as well as keep your team engaged, which I know is challenging these days because we've gone from a everyday in the office environment to work from home or a remote workforce or a hybrid workforce. So there's a lot of that. So what differences are you noticing with how people are selling these days and buying these days? What are some of the differences you're noticing?
Yeah, it's definitely, it goes without saying that we're living in a place right now where you can't have a lot of that face-to-face contact. So we had to really open ourselves up to some of the digital platforms to allow us to have that experience with our clients. And we had to be committed to staying frequently in contact with them, you know, just to figure out how are they, having that empathy of understanding that, hey, as our business is down, so is their business. It's a direct reflection. but that we would be first to the table of being able to help them solve problems real time and come up with the right solutions. That was our commitment, and we've stayed true to that since March, right. This started.
What about as far as the way, the differences you're noticing in how your salespeople are selling? Mm-hmm. What's new, what's different, what's the same, what adjustments or pivots have you had to make?
Yeah, one of the bigger parts for us was with our events. We sell a lot of sponsorships into some really big events. We have two major concerts that we put on in the year, and having to pivot from what was that in-person experience and bringing it into a digital platform was one of the first pivots we had to identify and recognize we needed to make. And allowing for then space for engagement with our clients, those sponsors, in that digital space, figuring out how that looks and how that works to, you know, actually fulfilling what is their objective, what brought them to the table for that sponsorship all along. So that definitely has been a big part for us.
Excellent. Yeah. So that's how people are buying, and that's how salespeople are selling. And those are some of the pivots and the adjustments that you guys have made and that you've noticed. What are some of the differences that the management team has had to make to manage and lead salespeople during this time where, I mean, let's face it, our old model, a lot of it was involved with interacting with people face to face, and none of that's good. So what have you guys done differently?
Yeah, you know, I definitely want to give kudos to both James Conner and Eric Warnenberg and Bob Parrish, who are my sales leaders in the organization. Before this pandemic took place, we were 2 years ago really trying to tweak and finesse what was our sales operation and recognizing that we led first with our talent. So where they were best suited is where we aligned business for them so we could see them successfully thrive. And so we have really a two-piece or three-piece dynamic to how we go to market. And what that has allowed us to do is to align also the leadership in a way that can be responsive to the team and supporting the team. So all three of them go about it a little bit differently. I would say Bob Parrish and his team are utilizing a lot more of the digital platforms, 1UP Sales, which really is a gamification process of allowing real-time understanding of where each of his team members are in their call leads and things of that nature. And utilizing even better our platform of our CRM of HubSpot and making sure that we are being very transparent to where we are with our client engagement in that platform, and then allowing for the managers to coach up when they see scenarios playing out in HubSpot. Oh, you might try to take this approach with it now or a different approach. So that's been very helpful. I would say the other side of it is just really making it personable. I think Eric Warnenberg has done a phenomenal job with his team of staying very connected, his commitment of having more Zoom calls, and making them different approaches. So it's not just about reporting, but actually about, okay, what we can do to solve problems. You know, they do a team huddle to come up with solutions for clients, brainstorming together effectively. And just this past week, they went out and did a community service project together as a team. And it's important. Yeah, it's important. So
what they do, just because I'm interested,
they actually went and stuffed bags for people in need. So
awesome.
all of the stuff needed. So they worked it out with one of our local charities here and was able to socially distance, but yet still see each other. So that's important.
It's super important. And honestly, that's the thing that helps keep teams together. Yeah. Especially when the world has been rocked a little bit, their normal sales, the way they normally approach business has been changed a little bit. To do something like that brings everyone together in such a nice way. I love that. All right. So here's the question that everyone's asking. that I get text messages on. And when people knew you were going to be on, they're like, will you make sure to ask some version of this question? So here it is.
All right.
Can you share a few examples of things you and your team are doing to drive sales performance? For example, are there new systems or tools or technology or resources that you've implemented and you're using? Give us some insight.
Yeah. I mean, one of them I just referenced was OneUp Sales. I definitely love that platform. It allows for all of us, even in a virtual space, to see what is happening with each player. It allows us to celebrate when they've had an excess or have been able to accomplish a certain focus goal that we have. And we change it up each week. One week it could be call leads. How many calls have you made? The next week it could be appointments that you've set, or presentations that you've presented. In all of the way we can see that throughout the day. And if someone actually closes a deal, they have a theme song and, you know, we hear it kind of pop up, you know, so we can acknowledge that. So I think having those type of systems, gamification systems, really helps to give that encouragement and build that momentum in a meaningful way. One of the things that I'm trying to do a lot better of is, as Eric James or BP share success with me from their team, is spending that time of reaching out personally. You know, either I'm sending them a co-video, video, thank you, congratulations, or just a little personal note via email to acknowledge that success, you know, and give that encouragement from where I sit.
Yeah, those are great. I bet a lot of people are going to go check out OneUp Sales. Is that I looked it up. Is it oneupsales.co.uk?
Yes, correct. Okay. They're in the UK.
Just want to make sure that we're directing people to the right site. They can go and check it out on their own. You were also telling me that your team is using video in their sales process and other things. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so we made an investment, obviously, in Zoom. To allow for us to have some long format way of meeting. And then we use CoVideo. They are headquartered here in Indianapolis, as that short form intro welcome. You know, there's the platform allows for a prospect or a client to schedule a meeting right there within the platform itself, or to view any type of presentations that the AE might have attached within that greeting. So that those two platforms have really been helpful for us.
Yeah, I know you, and some other ones that we were talking about before we jumped on is some people use Loom. That's another service like that. I know that some people use Vidyard. CoVideo looks excellent. People should check that one out because you're having success with it. That'd be a good one. And you're also using HubSpot, not just for your CRM, but also for lead generation.
Correct. Yes. We made a commitment between HubSpot and Lead G2 to help us with the sequencing of how we would go to market for prospecting utilizing our social platforms to demonstrate that. And that's really been helpful for us, as we're really now emerging more into what we call our full service marketing agency that allows for us to really give that omni-channel presence for clients and be full service to them.
Yeah, and what is that website? It's msmarketing.com, just if people want to go check that out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone should go check that out. They do a really good job. And I know people always say, well, Are businesses doing this because of the pandemic? And I always laugh and say, I don't think anyone's doing it because of the pandemic. I think the pandemic maybe accelerated stuff. It maybe made it put more attention or focus on it sooner rather than later. But this is just good business production.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we started this process over 2 years ago. I mean, you were with us when we kind of brainstormed and launched the thoughts of MS Marketing. And absolutely, it just so happened that luckily it's been beneficial to us through this pandemic, but it's got long-term effects for us. I mean, we are truly committed to this.
Like that saying, when's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago.
Yeah.
When's the second best time? Today, right? I mean, it's like, okay. What are you doing? And I know this is a conversation that you and I have had. It's actually a conversation I think I've had with almost every sales leader that I deal with, what are you doing to keep your team engaged? That one, a great example is the community service that you guys just did recently. I've heard people talk about that they should do that. I haven't heard anybody say that they've done that lately. So I love hearing that. What other things are you doing to keep your team engaged?
Yeah, I think the important thing to us too is our culture. We put a lot within our culture values, and CSS has helped us to really define that well with the Up Your Culture series as a byproduct of CSS. And we're committed to that. So Halloween, we had a happy half hour Halloween costume party virtually, that's one of the ways that we go about it. We've had individual little lunch and learns, you know, where we kind of get together and share experiences or new thoughts in the Zoom platform during lunch hours. So we're always trying to figure out different ways that we can just keep the team motivated overall and encouraged overall, because that's important to be in front of.
Yeah, I'm getting some text messages from, yes, so people can ask questions. If you want to put your comments in the comments section, whether you're on LinkedIn or YouTube, we'll see those comments. So if you want to leave a question there, you can do that. I see someone said that gamification in sales is a nice thing to do. I agree. I think it makes it fun, right? But if you have questions, go ahead and do that. We'll try to get to them. The keeping people engaged, I just want to go back to that for a second, because I think it's important, is I think that in the beginning of the whole work from home experience, that everyone was really excited about the idea of they were going to get to work from home. But I do think that there is a fatigue factor that sets in, because working remotely is different than working from home. Working remotely means you can work anywhere. Mm-hmm. Working from home means that you have a home office set up. The difference is not everyone has that home office set up, right? And they don't have that office in their room. So I think this engagement thing, I think the things that you're doing with community service, a thing that you're doing with the Halloween, the things that you're doing with really living core values in your, I think that's absolutely essential for success these days. Let me ask you one more question. This will be our final question, unless anyone pops up with another one. Planning for next year. We've always stressed that planning for next year starts like in that August and goes through that October, November time period. That's not new. We've been doing that for years.
Right.
How have you modified planning? What sort of new things are you doing when you're thinking about next year? Not so much from your business, but your clients' businesses.
Yeah, exactly.
What sort of things are you doing differently?
Yeah, so we always are in a mode of fact-finding. And what I mean by that is, as we're having conversations with key accounts or clients, we're figuring out from them, asking the questions as it's relevant to their industry, finding out, you know, what they know to be what will be the next 6 months to 12 months for them. And then we identify that or collect that in what is the key account growth plan strategies that, you know, we've adhered to for years. But I think really being dialed in to what the industry is doing or how it's performing is more important today than ever before, especially as everyone seeks a way of recovery from this pandemic. So being able to address that and then being able to share that information across our team dynamic so that, you know, should another seller have someone in the automotive industry, how should we all approach that industry? And then specifically your client is imperative to have. So being able to cross-segment, share that information is going to be huge for us. We're in this exercise that you and I will participate in a little later on today, of truly reviewing what is our top 100 accounts and making sure that we know and have identified where we're going to maintain or where we have opportunity for growth, and exposing what is that opportunity for growth against what might be other platforms or offerings that we have, and coming up with that go-to model for how we'll get that done is where we're going.
Yeah, it's super important to do that. One last question, only someone posted, I don't know if you can see it, I'll read it. Okay. What has been your most successful way to keep teams accountable while still being understanding of their situations, their challenges during the pandemic?
Yeah, we run a level of trust within this organization from top down. So, and the commitment of consistency in that is important. So what I mean by that is that there's a level of trust I have with Eric, James, and BP, and there's consistency in how we communicate to ensure that we stay connected. You know, if it's a 15-minute call each day, or there's ways that we, you know, make certain that, hey, we need to address this or handle that, that we communicate that fairly. We do recognize, you know, back to the point of working remotely, right? And in this situation, you know, we got to recognize that families are having to be multitasking in multiple ways. You know, not only are you doing the business of your 9-to-5, but now you're the teacher for the in-room, right? So being patient and understanding those moments of, I got to do this, and how do we facilitate both of these things and navigate at the same time, I think is important. And we being patient and understanding of that is imperative at this time. And being willing to be open to hearing the concerns from our teammates, you know, to your point, a lot of our team is getting, you know, a little fatigue in. I'm doing this same Groundhog's Day approach to this, and I'm feeling boxed in to my home. So we have to find ways to personalize this and helping them individually overcome some of those challenges, because all of them are different. Every one of them we have experienced have a different way of dealing with this. So. Yeah. We just have to be open to hearing what it is and to try to figure out how we help them through it.
And I will say this without divulging any secrets or sharing any numbers, I will tell you, everyone that's watching either right now or will watch later, Taja and her crew at MS Indianapolis are doing awesome. Congratulations. You are truly driving sales performance and keeping an amazing culture, two things that are not easy to do right now, but you all are doing a great job of doing it. So congratulations to that. And thank you so much for being a guest on the Improving Sales Performance live cast. I guess that's what we call it. I know that people are going to want to know how to get a hold of you. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to put your LinkedIn connection there. So go and connect with Taja on LinkedIn, and you can get a hold of that way. I also want to make sure that if you like what you saw today and you want to see more of this, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's the best way. And make sure that you click to get notified for when we go live, so you'll be able to do that. We're committed to doing this style of live cast on a regular basis and bringing you lots of guests, just like we've had over the past month, and more people like Taja, who are really doing an amazing job of driving sales performance and keeping an amazing culture in their workforce. And with that, I'll leave you. Have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, Matt.
Talk to you later.